The following podcast contains explicit language.
I'm like in Starbucks, in Crown Heights, on a computer, very like hipster, right? And so I make a joke about that to him via text because I also want him to know who I am. So I text him and I say like, hey, just so you know, I'm the girl sitting on a computer like a hipster. I mean, like 15 minutes later, he texts me to say that he was coming across the street. But because I was on my computer, you know how you look at your phone and you see a text, but you look up right away because you're not sure like when they sent it or whatever. And so I look up and there's a guy standing by the door.
And there is her date from Tinder.
I feel like women think a lot about what we put in our profiles, the pictures. Because you want them to kind of get a sense of who you are and how you look, and that's authentic to the person that you are. And I feel like guys don't do that. Guys very often is just like, depending on what they're looking for, like maybe they're just looking for sex. And so they'll have like a no shirt on or, you know, or it's like a bunch of like close up ones. Or maybe even sometimes it's with other girls and you're like, is that his sister? Is that his cousin? I'm confused, right?
Right. Or sometimes it's just him and a fish. I get really charmed by him and his niece.
Well, sometimes if they say that's their niece, yes. But other times it's this random child. I don't know who this person is. Like, it's just like, I'm always just like, is this your best foot? Like, was this your thing? This is the thing that you were like, oh, this is going to get me the woman that I want to be with. It's like when you see a guy that like is like cute and has the mid shots, has the full body, has some that he's just smiling. Like he had like different variations of his picture. You know, all of them were, he was cute.
So the guy there in Starbucks was cute, like his photos.
And I'm like, oh, hey. And the guy walks over. We like walk over to each other. We hug. He comes over. He sits down. He says, oh my gosh, you look even more beautiful in person. And I noticed that he has a Nigerian accent. I'm Sierra Leonean, and my last like serious dating situation was with a Nigerian. So I was like, oh wait, you're Nigerian? Lots of stuff was triggered for me because of the ex. But the guy that I was texting with had said that he was born and raised in Brooklyn. And so I was kind of like slyly trying to like look at my phone, which I did, to see his picture. And then when I looked back up, my guy was standing by the door looking at us like, what the hell?
So the whole time she's been talking to the wrong guy, which to be fair seems kind of easy to do. You can't really know someone from their photos online. Plus, both the Nigerian guy and her date, they both had beards. And if you think about it, a beard is basically a mask, just made of hair that covers half your face. He could have been anyone.
What also was bizarre about the way that the Nigerian guy reacted was that he then was apologizing to my guy. Like, sorry, man, I'm so sorry.
Like, sorry I talked to your property?
He didn't really apologize to me. I'm the one in which you hugged. The person in which you misled. Although I was totally complicit because, like, you know, obviously I looked at him. I was like, hi. So some might say that I initiated it.
For her and her actual date, this was the textbook definition of a meet cute. The moment that almost feels cinematic. And it can become the story that both brings you together and keeps you together.
It was easy for us to bounce back from it because like it just instantly gave us something to like talk about and like bond over in a very like sweet way.
This is why I'm Andrea Salenzi. Okay, so how should we introduce you?
As the 31-year-old that is actually ready for like marriage.
Did you hear how she said marriage?
Marriage?
It's hard to say the stuff out loud. For me, I'm learning about how to talk about wanting kids someday. And for her, she's learning to talk about marriage.
I'm a Christian, as we've also talked about. And I think, like, promising each other in front of God is important to me.
Over the course of our friendship, I've watched her become dating app curious. She'll look over my shoulder while I'm testing out a new app and kind of raise her eyebrows when she spots someone cute. And then some advice from her therapist pushed her over the edge. She decided to download Tinder.
My therapy session was Saturday around like 1. I downloaded it right after that and I met someone like that evening.
And the next day, she met the guy in Starbucks. He was her first Tinder match, her first Tinder date. And now, a few weeks in, when she talks about him, she sounds love drunk, like birds chirping in her head, flowers blooming behind her eyes. It's Paris in the spring, and she's on her fifth dopamine serotonin cocktail. And since there aren't enough hours in the day to possibly hear all the nice things she has to say about this guy, I'm just going to play some romantic music here, and we can review the highlights.
Like, we actually, like, talk on the phone and text each other how we're doing. We just kind of talk about things, like, during the day, which I really appreciate. And what I like about him, too, is that he listens to different types of podcasts that I listen to. It's really hard for me to have small talk. Like, I almost never can talk about things on a surface level. Like, I give details that are not important sometimes. And I like guys that also do that, and he does that. Like, literally, it was like the conversation right before you fall asleep. That's what we were having, talking about institutional racism.
I like him.
He's pretty amazing.
But of course, there's always a catch.
Circling back to the Christian thing, me being a Christian, he's does not believe in Jesus. Let's put it that way. And that's kind of like the main thing of Christianity. Like, that's kind of like the thing that's going to, like, you know, get you salvation.
Yeah, or like, that's the thing you'd want to talk to your kids about.
Yeah. It's just so weird to, like, meet someone that I really like and all these different levels. But then when I think about what I ultimately want for myself, because, like, God and specifically, like, Jesus is such a central part of my life. And, like, I go to church every Sunday. I pray. Like, I have a women's group that I, you know, we meet. We do devotionals. We talk and about, like, the challenges we have in our lives and how we can use the Bible to kind of like work through those challenges. So it's not like I'm just saying it because, oh, this is just something that I want one day for my children. Like, this is actually how I'm living my life right now.
So what do? You have this hard and fast criteria in your head. He should be a Christian. And then you meet someone and all the other boxes are checked, except for that one that you told yourself was so essential. When we were younger, that was just a different math problem. Now we're adding up the years in our heads. I'm thinking of what Jim said last week.
Your clock is ticking.
So my friend and her date from Starbucks, they're actually talking about this a lot.
Another thing I like about him is that we could actually talk about those things, and we have talked about those things ad nauseum. And so, like, I feel like every time
Do you feel like you would have always, that would have been you 5 years ago, that you would have been willing to go there?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I just would have, like, it would have been okay to spend 5 years with someone that I wasn't going to end up with.
Yeah. Or I would, if something was a difficult thing to talk about, I would just steer my car away from that. Just like, let's not talk about this.
Yeah.
I know we're going to fight.
And not even intentionally. Like, I don't think that even the idea that you can recognize it's something that you're not talking about is a step further than I was. Mm-hmm. I think I just would have not talked about it. You know, it's like, you just want to have fun and dates
and just make out and talk
and see
each other.
As long as he's spending time, like, that was a big thing for me, like, spending time together. And yeah. And I was like, wait, I don't have a lot of time.
Like what Jim said.
Every year after 35, your eggs are getting weaker and weaker.
Let's try to define what dating in our 30s is. Dating in our 30s now means we have the built-up hurt of our 20s, also the built-up lessons of our 20s, and then we have the limited timeline of our 30s and the high expectations.
That sounds really depressing.
It's a complicated cocktail that makes it harder to make bad decisions, even if they could be fun.
on another note, I feel like it also is like knowing what you want and also meeting guys that know what they want is can actually be fun too. So last night, so I haven't gotten off of Tinder because I feel like until you have a commitment, you shouldn't just like go ahead and just date the one person. So last night, and I screenshotted it just for you. This was the guy that I matched with and then swipe. So that was our interaction.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
So, so after we matched.
Wait, let me just describe this. So he's 31, like you. He says, life is beautiful. Smile because you can. I believe that every girl has something special about her. You can tell that he's in a doctor's coat. First message from him. Are you down for a hookup? And you were just like, no.
Nope. And like, that's amazing. Like, that was what? 5 minutes of my life.
How dare he? You had to go through the process of looking at that photo, thinking about if you could love that face, and then he goes right to, are you down for a hookup? This is me swiping. I'm like, could I love that face? No. Could I love that face? No.
Oh,
there are only a few faces I could love in this world.
It is so real. That is real.
So you are in a spot now that I feel like I'm in all the time, which is that parts of you are pulling you into this thing, and then your logical, goal-focused brain is trying to steer you away.
Yes. And then also, like, God, right? Like, that's a weird thing to kind of, like, be negotiating against.
Yeah.
And so I feel all sorts of complex feelings. And I feel like I'm getting signs all the time that are pushing me one way or the other. And so, yeah, I honestly, for the first time, I literally have no opinion. I don't know what I should do, what I should be doing.
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to tell my friend about a decision I'm making. I have a date coming up. I think it's probably a bad idea. Should I listen to my gut? So like we promised, here is the scoop from my personal life.
I feel like I'm in a similar spot where I keep almost like there's a guy I like who
I told her I like someone who she also knows.
Okay.
And I told her who it was.
Oh, he's so sweet.
There are so many things I like about this guy. I mean, it's mostly how his shirt tucks into his pants, but he's also really funny, like the kind of funny where he'll say something so cutting, so cruel, I don't know what face to make. And that's all I look for in a guy now is just surprising banter. When I close my eyes, I want to make out with him, like all over the place. But there's a warning sign. He's too old to ever be someone I could have a family with. So my body goes, what about making out? My brain's like, but what about the future? And my body's like, but what about making out?
If you just wanted to like hook up with someone, like kiss, I feel like that would be so easy for you to find. Because I feel like if you want to hook up, I feel like we can go right now to a bar.
Yeah, no.
You know?
It's not what I want.
You want the forever person.
How does anyone make it through the like treacherous early stages of a relationship and qualify for being a forever person? Like, what's a forever person other than just someone you build up that much intimacy with where you can't imagine
life without them?
Yeah.
I can imagine life without this guy. I can even imagine a Thursday without this guy. So if it was a date, and even that was a little unclear, it's not going to happen. I called it off.
So when do you think you'll know to pull the plug or not on this guy?
Well, the other thing, the thing that happened today after that after hours conversation with him last night is that I was listening to this sermon that was talking about like not this is going to sound so like I feel like we're learning so much about each other. Like it was just talking about like the I am instead of saying impossible, like I'm possible. And pretty much it was just saying like don't discount God. Don't limit what God can make possible and what is possible when you have God.
She's moved on to a new question.
if we do have sex,
yeah,
is what's going to be my birth control option.
Let's figure out marriage later. For now, she's thinking about a different ring.
I've thought about this.
Cool.
So the ring you just leave in your vagina.
Yeah.
And then you can take it out whenever you want.
It's not a long-term commitment. This isn't an IUD or the Nexplanon. If she goes and gets the ring, she can make this decision 1 month at a time.
Cheers to us. We are adults.
Yeah.
Having a cool dating life. Kind of.
That are dating. We're like being vulnerable and putting ourselves out there.
And get this. Today, I stopped by her office and she showed me a package. She just picked it up that morning at the pharmacy.
Does he know that you have a new ring in your office fridge?
No, but we talked about the possibility of me getting one.
I'm really happy. This is a cool move. This means you're kind of serious about this. That's going to stick around.
I'm really serious about not having a baby, yes.
That's it for today's show. It's produced by me, Andrea Salenzi, with Lindsay Cradwell. Our editor is Hillary Frank. Our artwork changes every week thanks to Teddy Blanks at chips.nyc. And we actually used some of his music today. Thanks. Thanks also to Mia Lobel, Laura Mayer, and Andy Bowers at Panoply. Next time on YOY, I'm going to play all that lovey-dovey gushy stuff on loop till you barf.
Like literally, it was like the conversation right before you fall asleep. That's what we were having, talking about institutional racism.